someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
We're starting tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. If you're there, let's go. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Sweet Holy Spirit, we receive inspiration, we receive revelation, and we receive the power for action. In Jesus' name. You must change your belief system if you want to experience material wealth or material blessing. You must change your belief system. You must develop prosperity consciousness. It is one major characteristic of people who are prosperous in our world. They think that they are prosperous. It's very important. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus made a statement. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that what believes." Now, it's not to him that does anything, it's not to him that cries. To him that does what believes. The way the human spirit is designed, it operates by the force of faith. The power of faith. When the human heart believes or accepts something as reality, there is power that goes forth from the human spirit to organize circumstances, to influence the material world, to agree or align with the reality in the human spirit. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he said he will have whatever he says. The force of the human spirit is unleashed through faith. All things are possible to him that believes. In Matthew 9, two blind men met Jesus. He said, have mercy on us. In Matthew 9:29, he said, according to your faith, so be it to you. And what those two men believed was that their eyes would be opened. And instantly, their eyes were opened. Now, listen, if you understand that, then probably our greatest quest should be to be able to get our hearts to that state of belief. Most people in our country believe that they are poor. That's the truth. I used to believe that I was poor. The proofs were there. Evidence that demanded a verdict. The proofs were there. When you have to wear a pair of shoes till even the cobbler can't do anything about those shoes anymore, what do you do? It wasn't always that way for my family. We were fairly okay. In fact, we kids were the champion kids in the town where we grew up, because my parents made sure they bought designer things. But then something went wrong. And then we tasted what we had not tasted before. earth food, you know. Some food is poverty food. They don't need to tell you are poor. You will know you are poor because of the kind of food you're eating. And then, so I understand. I understand what it's like for you to want to go somewhere, not have transport fare to go there, for you to, you know, take a stroll or jog. Like, my younger brother and I used to jog to church in the morning. And because we were Bible class teachers, we didn't want to go on the main road. Because church members who were going in taxi would see us walking on the road. And we were teaching faith, you know. So we took the back road. We jogged on the back road, right? And where we came out on the main road was not that far from church. I understand that. Like I tell people, I understand what it's like for you to squeeze every ounce out of a toothpaste tube. I mean, you squeeze it. You press everything systematically. Move everything upward towards the mouth of the tube. And by the time you squeeze everything, I know how to press the last ounce out. I know how to use the brush to scrape the inside of the tube. And then I know after having done all, to take a knife and cut the tube. I understand that. And then now scrape the remnant of the toothpaste in the tube. I understand that. But it is not according to your circumstances that it should be to you. It is according to your faith. What do you believe? You believe you are poor. You are poor. The force that comes from your spirit will control the material world around you to create poverty. You believe you are prosperous. That force will control and influence your material circumstances. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus was walking to the house of Jairus and he was distracted by the woman with the issue of blood, you know, who took her miracle without permission. And that's permitted in the economy of faith. And while he was taking her testimony, then somebody came from Jairus' house and said to Jairus, don't bother the master anymore. The girl is dead. And you know, that's the challenge with us human beings. We respond to the environment. We respond to things happening around us. We define ourselves by our material reality. We accept as the ultimate truth the circumstances of our lives. Once this man was told the girl is dead, his faith flew out of the window. He was going to become depressed. He was going to accept that as the ultimate truth. And instantly, Jesus, you know, stepped in. In Mark chapter 5, verse 36, instantly, as they said those words to him, Jesus just turned to him and said, don't be afraid. Only believe. This man was, he had faith. He was the one who came to call Jesus to come to his house. And then just because somebody said something that the situation got worse, his faith was about to disappear. And Jesus, I mean, even God will not be able to help someone who does not have faith. In other words, he can't help someone to create a situation that is contrary to the situation in the person's heart. That's it. So Jesus quickly stepped in and said, don't be afraid. Don't entertain fear. Don't entertain anxiety. And I'd like to ask you that tonight. What are the emotions that you feel with respect to money? Presently, given your financial situation or circumstances, the issue with your accommodation, the issue with your education, the issue, okay, with your finances, whatever it is, what do you feel right now about money? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? I used to worry. I used to worry a lot about what was going to happen, what was not going to happen, if I was going to be able to afford to do this or not afford to do this. And what Jesus said to Jairus is what I say to you tonight. Don't be afraid. In this place tonight, let's run those negative emotions out of our lives. Only believe. Accept what God is saying as your reality. There's something called the fight of faith. And it's something that happens inside you. It is the conflict between the reality of your circumstances and the truth of what God is saying about your situation. And it's up to you to take what God has said and accept that as your reality, or to accept what your situation is saying. Like I said, I know what I am talking about. Around here, when people see someone who's prospering, they think it's because we're prospering, that's why we're talking the way we're talking. And you need to ask for probably the tapes that we preached 10 years ago, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, and listen to them. In fact, if you can find a message that I preached maybe 16, 17 years ago, and you will find out what I said then is what I'm saying now. And the way I said it then is the way I'm saying it now. Same conviction. I said it before I saw it. So, it's easy, I know. Somebody can be easily confused. Okay, it's because now he drives a fine car. Oh yeah, now he pastors a large church. Oh yes, now I mean. So he can say now that he is rich. I said it. When saying it made me sound like crazy. It made me sound like I was crazy. I said it when it didn't make sense to say it. I told people, even when I was jobless, that I was not a local champion and they should watch out for me. I said I was going to the world. When traveling between two towns was not easy. I said I was going to the world. In the days when my pastor, who was wealthier than the rest of us, in the church or in the fellowship, rode a motorcycle. A lecturer in a higher institution was riding on a motorbike. I remember the day I went to represent him at a function. I want to speak on his behalf. And he wasn't going anymore, said I should go represent him. Was at a university campus. And I couldn't ride the motorbike. So the other young man, my friend, who could ride the motorbike, drove the motorbike and I climbed behind him. And on the way, the motorbike just shut down while we were in motion. It just stopped walking, just went off. I pushed it down. Somehow, by the grace of God, the motorbike came back to life. We jumped on it, rode to that place. When we got outside, it was already getting dark, it was a Sunday evening. My friend just revved that motorbike because he knew how my pastor used to ride it. He revved the motorbike. As he revved the motorbike, the students in the hall shouted, "Hallelujah!" In other words, that motorbike was a brand identity, you understand? It was part of my pastor's branding. You see, this issue of believing contrary to your circumstances is an exciting thing. I learned it from my pastor. Because then, even while he was riding on a motorbike, he was bragging, you know, on faith, saying that our church was not a mushroom church, it was a mushroom church. And he said he was going to the world. And right before our eyes, what he said was coming to pass. Tonight, it's your turn. It's your choice. You can look at the circumstances in this country. You can look at your background. Look at the capability of your parents. Look at your educational qualification or the circumstances of your life and define yourself by what has happened in your life until now. Or you can choose to believe. Somebody say with me one more time, I am not poor. Once the belief in my heart began to change, then the words of my mouth also began to change. And somehow, all the excuses that I gave before or that I could have given began to dissolve. Oh, it's because the national economy is not good. Oh, it's because I don't know someone. Oh, it's because all those becauses disappeared. I just realized that to me there was no reason in the world and there was not going to be any excuse in the world why I was not going to prosper. At a point, I began to, you know, apply a Yoruba proverb, you know, one of our proverbs in Nigeria, that says if you pound yam in leaves and prepare soup in groundnut shells, as small as they are, that the person who will be satisfied will be satisfied. And I said, fantastic. If they pound Nigeria's yam in leaves and prepare its soup in groundnut shells, I will be satisfied. Well, it's working for me. It will work for you. So, what do you believe? I am poor or I am rich? There's this other thing that people believe around here. I need money to make money. It's a dangerous belief. It's dangerous. From our discussion, you would have seen that wealth extends well beyond cash. You don't need only money to make money. Once you tie that to your brain, you're stranded. Because as long as you don't have money, you will not be able to make money. Yet, some of the people who make the largest amounts of money in town are people who don't start with money. There are many millionaires in this country and around the world right now who started with nothing. But they had spiritual wealth. They had ideas. And they had belief. I deserve to be wealthy. I don't deserve to be wealthy. What do you believe? Some people don't believe that they deserve to be wealthy. They believe that other people do. But they don't feel that they deserve to be wealthy. In fact, if it ever happens by chance, oh my God, that would be the ninth wonder of the world. Listen to me. God is no respecter of persons. He created you as valuable as anybody else on this planet. And if anybody deserves to be prosperous, you deserve to be prosperous. See, it's even easier for us as Christians because you can never qualify. But the truth is, Jesus qualified on your behalf. So if Jesus deserves to be prosperous, you deserve to be prosperous. The right that Jesus has to walk into the Father's presence is the right that you have. Where he sits is where you sit, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's take this other one. Money is bad or money is good. Which do you believe? Don't tell me what you think you should say. What do you really believe? You know, know, the truth is money is neutral. It just takes on the character of the person who holds it. Somebody takes 100,000 naira, gives it to an orphanage. The other one takes 100,000 naira and buys cocaine. The same amount of money. It's the character of the person that determines the character of the money. Let's take another one. Building wealth is difficult. Building wealth is easy. No, think. Which do you believe? Because in this environment, the truth is that most people believe that it is difficult to make money. And when you've tried, you've experienced poverty, you've experienced life, you've tried, you can't even find someone to loan you 5,000 naira. Money. So, but what do you really, really believe? Because you'll be surprised when you begin to attract a lot of money to discover that it doesn't take extra effort. In fact, the effort that some people make to be poor is the exact effort that some people make to be rich. It's just that most people who make effort to be poor don't know that they are actually exerting their energy for poverty. The difference between the two, what they think, what they believe. All I need to be rich is just one lucky break. Do you believe that? Some people do. One breakthrough. Oh God. But anybody who understands how wealth works knows it's just like going through different cycles of sowing seed, harvesting, and sowing seed and harvesting. And you experience increase along the line. It is not acceptable for me to be wealthy when other people around me don't have enough. Some people feel like that. Some of us feel guilty for being prosperous when our family members are broke. We feel guilty. In fact, that's why some people are unable to build wealth. Because they are unable to say no. They are unable to resist any demand whatsoever. Because they feel guilty for being prosperous when their family members still have needs. All rich people are fraudulent. Oh yeah, I mean, that happens a lot around here, doesn't it? Some people watch wealthy people drive their fine cars past, and you can see in their eyes that they're not happy. Some hiss, they give a hiss. In fact, sometimes they could add only. But listen, once that is programmed into your heart or spirit, you're in trouble. Because you don't see yourself as being in that class of thieves. And as long as you programmed into your brain that it is only thieves that drive brand new Mercedes-Benz S-Class or BMW X7. Only thieves. End of story. Gratefully, we thank God you are not a thief. Let me add one more. Having a lot of money creates a lot of problems. You know, because some people look at the lives of wealthy people and what they pick out are the things that are not perfect in their lives, as if being wealthy means your life will be perfect. Okay? So they just point out, look, something went wrong with his son or with the daughter. As if some things don't go wrong with the sons or daughters of poor people too. You understand? What you believe controls how you behave. And how you behave ultimately determines what you become. Whether you are conscious of it or not, what you believe secretly, deeply, on the inside, will control your behavior. So I like that man in Mark chapter 9 that Jesus spoke to. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The man said, Lord, I believe. Then he said, Lord, please help my unbelief. And sometimes that has to be our prayer. Lord, I am up against mindsets, strongholds in my mind. I'm up against experiences that stamped indelible marks and made scars on my heart. I am up against fears, anxieties created by real experiences. And you need to help me to defeat them and to go beyond them to believe that my future will be all right and that I am prosperous. I pray tonight that God will help somebody here to cross that line. Amen. Now, let's move on. Real wealth is more than physical cash. So you need to learn to recognize your resources. Okay? I want to challenge you from today to think beyond money. Instead, think resources. When you think in terms of resources, you will see that you are not poor at all. The fact that you don't have cash is no proof that you don't have wealth. Think about it. God created everything for man. Everything. So you need to think in terms of plants. They are resources. God's blessed us so much in this country. We have arable land. 70% of the land can be cultivated. Plants can grow on them. There's no reason in the world why we shouldn't feed ourselves. If you want to make money, you have to be conscious that God's given us plants. He's given us animals. See, some people cultivate animals. They make money. God has given us minerals. In our country, we discovered every single one of our 36 states has at least two minerals. That's exciting. That's money. That's wealth. And of course, the crude oil for which our country has a reputation internationally. And then, of course, we have intangible wealth. Words are resources. When you read the Bible, you will see the power in words. If you have words, you can't call yourself poor. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. The man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. Can you see that? Your mouth can produce fruit. Okay, words are resources. And we see how God used words to create the whole world in Genesis chapter 1. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. So, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Verse 20 says that a man's belly shall be filled, a man's stomach shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and by the increase of his lips, he will be satisfied. So if you are poor, in words, you're poor. That's what he's saying. That's why I said, when a man has prosperity consciousness, when a man is prosperous in his heart, you will see it in his words. So words are resources. Poor people don't see that. Hang around wealthy people, and you will see that the way they talk is different from the way poor people talk. But poor people don't see words as part of their wealth, as part of their assets, as part of their resources. Thoughts, ideas are resources. They have value. In fact, whenever you think about thoughts, just always bear this in mind, that in the invisible world, the intangible world, words are things. They are tangible things and they have real value. And of course, then you can consider physical assets that you have. You may have land, you may have a house, you know, willed to you. You may have bought a TV set, furniture, whatever. But they have value and they can be converted to cash whenever you want. Okay? And then you could have cash. I want you to begin to think in terms of resources. When you think in terms of those resources, you will never call yourself poor again. I may not have cash in the account. I have words. I have ideas. Okay? I still have resources. And then, of course, there is time. I have 24 hours that I can convert to money, because time is a convertible resource. We discussed that the last time. Please become conscious of the resources at your disposal. I think least of all, if you don't have any of those, you have your physical energy. Okay? I can wash a car. I can carry chairs. I can run. I can do something. Okay, offer a service, solve a problem somehow, at least with my physical energy, and that can give me a starting point. Somebody say with me, I am not poor. If I say with me, I can never be poor again the rest of my life. Esau had the real wealth, the birthright. Jacob had one pot of stew. And Jacob, because he was conscious of the value of his resources, used the little pot of stew that he had to take the wealth away from Esau. Once in your mind you believe you are poor, you make God a liar, you discountenance the resources that he has placed at your disposal. In the place of exchange, you will be helpless. That's it. The important thing is, always remember, money is only a means of exchange. You've got to bring something there. And I have seen people trade ideas for money. You must believe that you are prosperous. Secondly, you must be conscious at all times of the resources at your disposal. Do you remember what Jesus said when he wanted to feed the crowd? What do you have there? Say, oh, we have 5 loaves of bread. There's a young boy here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He said, bring them. Because intangible wealth always needs a point of contact in the material realm for conversion into the material. Let me explain that. all the trees that we have in the world now, were they in existence when Adam was in existence? Were they here, within the world, when Adam was around? Of course not. I mean the real trees, the ones that Adam saw, are they still around? Trees that are 6,000 years old. The ones that we have now, where did they come from? Okay, if you eat maize now, did Adam eat from the same stalk? Of course not. So, the ones that we have now, where did they come from? From seeds that were planted. And those seeds, where did they come from? From seeds that were planted before them, am I right? So, if Adam held a maize seed in his hand, God had quintillion tons of maize seeds in the invisible realm. But they all need a seed, a physical material seed, to be planted for some of those from the invisible realm to come out into the visible realm. Am I right? They've all been created. But they need something, a point of expression in the material. So when you are smart, you don't despise your resources, because you can always use the little resources that you have to create a channel for invisible world to find expression in the material. That was what Jesus did with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. You just need a small point of contact somewhere. Don't despise your resources. Don't trivialize your resources. You are wealthier than you think. When you read my book, Start With What You Have, it's based on the story of the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. Okay? Whose husband had just died and the creditors were coming to take her sons to become slaves. And she ran to the man of God for help. She ran to the prophet. What did the prophet say? 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2. Woman, what do you want me to do for you? Then he said, hold it. What do you have in the house? The woman said, your handmaid has nothing in the house. That's how all of us think. I have nothing. Then she said, except a small jar of oil. And the prophet said, that's it. We need something. We need some. And what I wrote is that what you have is, God will never allow you to get to the point where there's nothing around you that he can use to move you to the next level of breakthrough. Somebody say with me, I have enough to move to the next level of breakthrough. We have gifts and talents. We have skills. We have knowledge. They're all resources. I have something to start with. That woman said, nothing except tonight. I want you to become conscious of that except. That thing you've been overlooking, that you didn't know would have commercial value in your life. God will help you to find it. Let's move on. The next point I want to make tonight is that wealth is created. Wealth is created. To create means to bring into existence something that has never existed before. That's it. Listen, once you develop the capacity to invent or create things, you can never be poor again the rest of your life. In other words, when you don't have what you want, you can use what you have to produce what you want. The first introduction that we have to God in the Bible is the fact that he is the creator. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God did what? Created. The fifth word in the whole Bible was the word created. Almighty God has the capacity to bring into existence things that have never existed before. Now, anyone who has such a capacity is wealthy. Because that person will always be able to produce something that he or she can use for exchange at the market. Am I right? And then when God created man, or when God was to create man in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Wow! You and I are co-creators with God. We have the God-given capacity to invent things, to bring into existence things that have never existed before. Tap your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you're more powerful than you think you are. I know. Environment can be very, very powerful. A seed needs the right environment to blossom. Am I right? And the big problem with those of us who grow up in the developing world or the underdeveloped world is that our environment conditions us to believe that we are powerless, we are helpless, and we are poor. We're not. It's a lie. We may have been deceived for so long, but tonight deception has come to an end. I am not poor. If I have all of those resources we've been talking about, I'm not poor. Wow. I didn't know I was so loaded. Somebody needs to change the way you're sitting. You've been sitting like a poor person for so long. You've been used to it. You are royalty. Change the way you're sitting. When you walk, walk with your shoulders square. When you walk through the street and they talk about the common man, now you've left that class. Because people like you are not common around here. You know, one day, I was saying, you see, don't mind those rich people. And the Holy Spirit just caught me short and said, oh, you said those rich people? So who are you? Classify yourself. I thought about it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, no, you are the one using your mouth to classify yourself outside of the category of those rich people. Oh, I said, Lord, we rich people. So I began to tell people, if you hear anybody anywhere talking about those rich people, they're talking about us. We are co-creators with God. I always remind myself that there are so many things God could have done in Genesis that he did not do. That when he made trees, he could have made furniture, but he did not. When he created cotton on the fields, he could have made shirts for Adam. He did not. When he put wool on the back of sheep, he could have made coats for Adam. He did not. He hid many of the things that Adam would need for comfort in nature and left them that way. He could have created all the computers we would ever need in this world. He did not. He could have built all the buildings we'll ever need in our world. He did not. He could have built all the jumbo jets we'll ever need in our world. He did not. Why? If he had done everything, you and I would have been jobless. We would have had the capacity to create things, but there would have been nothing to create. He did only the basic job and left the rest for us. Listen, the most valuable asset on planet Earth is man. Even the creation of man, God could have created 10 billion human beings at the same time, and he could have breathed into their nostrils and all 10 billion could have stood on their feet. In fact, he could have made them same height, same size, same age. No father, no mother, no uncle, no brother, no auntie. Everybody same age. He did not. He created only the first man and the first woman and left the rest of the job for us. So, we are co-creators with God even in the creation of human beings. In bringing human beings who have never existed before into existence. We're more powerful than we thought we are. Tap your neighbor. You are oozing with power. So, the way God designed it, Adam was to have fellowship with him. In the place of their discussion and fellowship, he was to transfer visions, dreams, ideas into Adam's mind. And then Adam would look at those raw resources and see the possibility, okay, for things in them. And then he would cut down the tree and bring his chair out of it. That was the idea. In fact, since man was the last of God's creation, I believe that man was created at the end of the sixth day. Because the Bible tells us that God rested on the seventh day. But that seventh day was Adam's first full day. Now we say you rest 6 days, you walk 6 days and rest on the seventh. Well, God walked 6 days, rested on the seventh, but I don't think that was true for Adam. Adam's first full day was a day when he had nothing to do. It was a day of rest. It was a day of interaction with God. And then whatever inspired ideas, creative ideas he got, that would give him work to do for the next 6 days. Okay. So it's interesting that the most productive economies in the world have a culture of vacation. Why was the Sabbath so important in the Old Testament? It was one of the Ten Commandments. And those of us who don't go on vacation, live in some of the poorest countries in the world, activity is not accomplishment. Activity does not necessarily result in productivity. It is the value that is released through the activity that determines the value of what is produced. So, wealth is created. And it is the value of the things you create that determine the measure of your wealth. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said, be what? Fruitful or productive. Cultivate the seeds. Do something with the resources I've given you. And if you can, from this small quantity of maize, produce a larger quantity, then you have something to sell. So if you plant a maize seed and you produce 4 cobs, you just created 4 cobs of maize and you have something to exchange at the marketplace. The value of what you create determines the measure of your wealth. When you create products and services that meet needs in people's lives, you get money in exchange. It's as simple as that. And my last thought on that, what did God use to create in Genesis? We discussed that the last time from Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things that are visible. And the word of God must have come from the thoughts of God. The basic raw material for creating anything is what? Thought. Thought. The basic raw material for creating anything is thought. Look around this room carefully. When you leave this place tonight, just look around you. There is nothing that has value that man has created that did not begin as an idea in somebody's mind. Let's go to the last part of our discussion for tonight. How God gives you money. How God gives you money. And the first thing I like to say here is, they don't spend naira in heaven. They don't spend dollars. They don't spend pound sterling. They don't spend Japanese yen. When you ask God to give you money, what are you asking for? You ask Him to give you 100,000 naira. But they don't spend naira in heaven. You ask for $5,000, they don't spend dollars in heaven. But they have resources. Am I right? Heaven is wealthier than the earth. They have resources. Good. So let's use this illustration. You need 100,000 naira. You have a cousin in the United States who is doing well, and you know that your cousin has $5,000. In fact, a whole lot more than that. So you call your cousin on the phone and you say, "Cousin, I need 100,000 naira right here in Nigeria now to pay my rent. Can you please give me 100,000 naira? Do they spend naira in the United States? No. So your cousin doesn't have any 100,000 naira in the United States. However, they spend dollars in the US. So your cousin can wire transfer dollars, the equivalent of 100,000 naira to you, because the dollar is a convertible currency. Am I right? So when you ask God for 100,000 naira, it's good for you to always remember, except if God has begun the business of producing counterfeit money, they don't have any naira to send to you. However, there is a currency that they spend in heaven, and the currency of heaven is revelation. When you ask for 100,000 naira, God sends you revelation, the equivalent of 100,000 naira. Why? Revelation is a convertible currency. John chapter 1 verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." That's conversion. So when you ask God for money, He gives you revelation. He gives you an idea. He gives you a thought. He gives you an instruction. Peter walks up to Jesus and says, "Master, they are asking us to pay taxes." Jesus said, "Peter, you know what? Run down to the river. Catch a fish. The first fish that you catch, you will find a gold coin in its mouth. Use it to pay taxes for yourself and for me." One instruction, and Peter gets money. When you ask heaven for money, please remember what I'm saying tonight, because now our thinking has expanded beyond money to resources. Am I right? And there are tangible resources, there are intangible resources. You ask God for money, He gives you revelation. He gives you a thought, gives you an idea, gives you a vision. Because vision is the key to provision. We've done that here before. We've broken down the word provision, and we have pro and vision. Pro means for. The opposite is what? Anti, which means against. So, if it is provision, it means it is for vision. The word provision is another word for resources. So, it means that you only attract material resources to the size of your vision. If you don't have the vision, you don't have the magnetic power to attract the provision. You are not entitled to the provision. No wonder Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people do what? Perish. If you don't have the spiritual or intangible equivalent, you can't have the material equivalent. When you ask God for money, He gives you a revelation, an idea, a thought, an instruction. That may sound strange to some people, but Satan understands this better than many Christians do. Yeah. He does. So you know what? When you pray for 100,000, many people don't recognize the answers to their prayers. Because what they are looking for is material. What God gives is intangible. So they continue the prayer. And then God wonders what they're talking about. Lord, this 100,000, says which one? Oh, Lord, the 100,000. Oh, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to give up. God says you need to give up on this one. Because I've answered the prayer. Okay. If you were the devil, you are not. And you've made up your mind, there's a particular family, nobody will ever become a millionaire from that family. Somebody becomes a born-again Christian there, and now has the power of the Holy Spirit, and prays, and God answers the prayer, and gives him a revelation that is worth 10 million naira. Now, if you were the devil, and you don't want the person to prosper, what would you do? Wait till the revelation has been converted to 10 million naira cash, then look for a way to blow the money away? No. Steal the revelation. If you steal the revelation, you stole the money. Satan understands that when he steals your idea, he steals your revelation. He frustrates that instruction that God gave you. He stole your money. From today, you will not have abortion of vision anymore. That's why Jesus spoke to us in the parable of the sower. He talked about the man who threw his seed around. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell by the wayside. He said the birds of the air came and took those seeds away. And when he explained, he said those birds are devils. When the word comes, he said Satan comes immediately and takes the revelation. Because Satan knows that's the future. That's your wealth. That's your money. I can see somebody here already saying, Satan, come back, come here. Bring back what you took. So tonight, I encourage you that you develop the habit of receiving wealth from God. Know how God gives you money. One, pray. When you pray, expect ideas. Expect an instruction. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus turns to Peter. He says, launch out into the deep, throw your net for a catch. Peter does it. And the man who had not been able to get a single fish all night, fish rushed in. Because when Jesus gave him that instruction, he gave him the fish. Wow. Somebody say with me, I'm wealthier than I think. Because I think there are some things God's been giving me for some time. Somebody here is going to take a diary. You're going to take your notebook. You're going to go back to some of the things that God told you before. Several years ago, when our church was very young, One Saturday morning, I was praying. We had bills to pay the following week, and I didn't know where the money was coming from. Given our normal income on Sundays, it was obvious all of our income on Sunday would not be able to pay the bills the following week. I was praying Saturday morning, asking the Lord for a way out. And all of a sudden, He said to me, if I give you twice your normal income tomorrow, will that cover your bills? I said, yes, Lord. He said, then why don't you ask me to double your income? So I asked Him for double the income. Our church administrator then came Saturday evening. He had some ideas. In fact, one of the ideas that he had was that we should take some interest-free loans from some church members to tide us over, and then we could pay their money back. And I said, no, don't worry. The Holy Spirit told me that we should ask Him for double the income. Let's see what happens tomorrow. You know what happened? On Sunday, our income was double the normal income. In fact, I thought it was a joke. The following Wednesday, the income was double the normal Wednesday offering. And then I thought, thank you, Lord. I thought that was the end of it. Our monthly income doubled permanently from then on. One word from God on Saturday morning, sir, changed our income overnight. You are not far away from wealth that will blow your mind. Somebody here is about to experience supernatural provision. I remember the day, October 2002, when I was having my bath, my friend's house in Houston, Texas. I had been trusting God for 40 million naira, with which we could buy a facility for the church. And then we realized 40 million was not going to do it. So I increased it to 100 million naira. We were working towards starting a building project. And I was having my bath and I was just asking the Lord, Lord, how do we raise 100 million naira? Let me pause here to say something. Many of us miss supernatural provision because we have fixed our mind on how the money must come. It's a big mistake, sir. One day, I was asking God for money for a car. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, hold it. Do you want the money or the car? Which one do you want? Oh, I said the car, of course. Ultimately, He said, then good. Ask me for the car and then leave me to choose how I bring the car to you. Whether to give you the car directly or to give you the money with which to buy the car. The person you are dealing with, sir, does not spend cash. He spends resources. So I have learned to ask Him, how do we get 100 million naira with which to build our facility? And then He spoke to me, spoke to my heart, and said, don't build for yesterday, build for tomorrow. I said, what's that? He said, build a facility where governors can find it comfortable to attend services with their friends. I said, thank you, Jesus. Governors are coming to our church. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. What's the vision that I gave you? I said, to raise role models. He said, that's what I'm talking about. It's not that the governors are coming from somewhere. I'm going to promote the people in your church now. He said, I don't want to promote people in your church to the point where the church now becomes uncomfortable for them and they have to live with their friends. That's what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, instantly, I jacked up the figure and said, 500 million, sir. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 500 million. Well, the rest, as they say, is history. It was an idea. It was a thought in the bathroom. You have one instruction, one idea, one supernaturally inspired thought away from your next level of provision. Learn to ask God. Learn to spend time in meditation. Thirdly, listen to God's prophets. In fact, if God's servant, God's mouthpiece does not have a specific word for you, at least they stir up inspiration. And Job 32 verse 8 says, there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I have been at seminars, at conferences. I've sat down in church services. And while the message was being preached or the praise and worship was going on, an idea occurred to me and I wrote it down. I got an answer. And let me stop on this very powerful one tonight. Giving. Giving. We should have enough wisdom, as much wisdom as Jacob had, when he traded a small pot of stew to purchase intangible resources. When Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves can break in to steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He was simply saying, you can use your material wealth to create and to procure spiritual wealth. The wealthy young ruler came to Jesus. You remember him in Mark chapter 10? How do I inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell everything you have. Distribute to the poor. Come follow me. You will have eternal life. You will have access to abundant spiritual resources. The man ran away. After he left, Jesus said, you see what I'm talking about? It's going to be difficult for people who have a lot of material resources to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God. Because their esteem is tied to the material. Peter said, Master, so how about those of us who left everything and followed you? And Jesus said, nobody who's left anything for my sake and the gospel's sake. He said, in this world, he will receive what? 100-fold, and in the world to come what? Eternal life. When you give, hear what God said in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Bring your tithes and your offerings to my storehouse. He said, and test me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And there are lots of people who don't do that, who ask all sorts of questions, and who think pastors are trying to defraud them out of something because they don't understand. They've not seen anything material coming their way. But what God pours out, he calls it the blessing. And he says, your physical storehouses and your bank account can't contain the value of the spiritual resources we're pouring into your life. You are richer than you think, I'm telling you. So if you give your tithes and you give your offerings and you believe that you are poor, it's your problem. Because God is pouring value, pouring resources, intangible resources into your life. Let me talk about Jacob, and I'll stop there. This young man, when he ran away from home because his brother threatened to kill him in Genesis 28, he got to a place called Luz, and he had to stay the night there. And the Bible says that he used a stone for pillow. But there, the Bible says that he prayed. He prayed in Genesis 28 verse 22. Let me read, because somebody is going to be able to connect with this one tonight. Genesis 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. What was he doing? Exchange. Am I right? You don't think so? Come over to Genesis 31 and hear his testimony. Verse 10. Genesis 31 from verse 10. Jacob was now a very prosperous man. Hear what he said. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. His boss, his father-in-law, said to him, take care of my flocks for me. Your salary will be the ones that are spotted and speckled. And those were the lean ones. They were thin, skinny. And in fact, so that they would not mix with the fat ones, the Bible says that he separated them and took them away 3 days' journey. But the fat, plain-colored ones, when they conceived and delivered babies, they delivered spotted and speckled ones. Puzzle. So Jacob here was explaining to his wives how their dad had changed the agreement 10 times. When the man saw that the young children were spotted, the fat ones, then he changed it and said, okay, that the spotted ones were his and the plain colored ones were Jacob's. When he said that, then the spotted cows gave birth to plain colored animals. Then he would change it back again. And Jacob was now explaining how it happened. I was in a dream. The angel appeared to me. The angel said to me, Jacob, I am God who appeared to you when you were at Bethel, the place where you made a vow to me. You remember what the vow was? He didn't even have tithe to give. It was a promise. But the promise was enough to trade. God bless Jacob. God bless Jacob. I'm saying, somebody here is saying, I don't have money. That's why I'm poor. It's not because you don't have money. This guy was trading tithes that he had not even paid yet. And because of that transaction, because God does not fail in his own contracts, an angel appeared. And any time those plain-colored animals wanted to conceive babies, some angels went in there and punched some keys in their DNAs. And they produced whatever would make Jacob rich. From tonight, I declare all your excuses for poverty have died. Nobody, no system, no government, no boss, no arrangement can ever stop you from being prosperous anymore. I declare that from tonight, every thought, every form of consciousness, every idea of your being in lack will perish from your heart. They will perish from your mind. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that spiritual wealth will be downloaded into your life tonight. If during the daytime your system cannot receive them, in the dream of the night while you are sleeping, the Spirit of God will deposit wealth into you. The employee became wealthier than his employer. Because Jacob's wealth was spiritual, he could not be impoverished. There was no new policy in the organization that could make him poor. I prophesy tonight that heaven gives you access to wealth. The kind that nobody ever accessed in Africa. In the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that a revelation is coming your way. Light is coming your way that will shatter every trace of lack in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak with an apostolic unction tonight to declare that every kind of curse that can produce lack and poverty in a person's life, they are broken and removed from your life forever. In the name of Jesus. Wealth that a global economic recession cannot erode. There was a famine in the days of Isaac. The famine wiped away the material wealth that Abraham gave Isaac. But the famine could not wipe the spiritual wealth away. And Isaac, listening to God's instructions, stay here. He reaped 100-fold where everybody else was impoverished. I prophesy tonight because the Spirit of God told me that this foundational truth will produce billionaires. Listen to me carefully. I did not say millionaires. He said billionaires. And I am saying tonight over your life what God said. I prophesy by the Spirit of God that you have broken the barriers. Tonight in the realm of the Spirit, you have broken the barriers. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Tonight, I declare the prince of the devil over Africa is falling for your sake. The prince of the devil over Nigeria is falling for your sake. The prince of the devil over your nation, wherever you are, that devil is cast down in the name of Jesus. I came into this city with nothing materially, but I came with spiritual wealth. And I was singing to myself the day I came into this city, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Tonight, as Jesus said, receive power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. From here on, nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Break through laws, break through policies, break through constitutions to establish the kingdom of God. To establish the purposes of God. Nothing will be able to stop you anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy you will increase. You will multiply. A small one will become a great nation. In the mighty name of Jesus. And this covenant of God with you will be transgenerational. If Jesus tarries, as each new generation comes down in your lineage, material blessing will multiply from generation to generation in Jesus' mighty name. Someone say a powerful amen tonight.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.